morning.
Good morning.
How are you feeling? I'm doing much better. We'll wait another minute before we start.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The, excuse me.
I'm going to mute.
Okay. We're going to be using the two handouts today. The Psalm landing page and the preparations for the Tanit Dibur. We can find those on the unique astrological landings page. Scroll down to the preparations for Shavuot, and it's the first two links under that. And we are starting with Tehillim 17 and on the Psalms landing page. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Tehid Hilu Urchimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urchimu Liachta L'shem Yud He Bavav He B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ayinu Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kanunei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kanuneihu Tehillim 17 on the Psalms landing page. This Psalm 17 is set on the second day of the monthly cycle. A lofty person should not ask God to test him with some sinful matter or other things. If one has sinned, he should see to reform himself and to save many others from that same sin, or any sin. The above kavanah is the traditional kavanah to say when using this psalm. The first word is tefillah, prayer. The shorish of tefillah is secondary, tafel. A student of Kabbalah needs to contemplate why tefillah is connected to something that is secondary to something else, and what that something else actually is. There are 15 verses in this psalm. The number 15 connects to Yud-Heh of the four-letter name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. These are the upper worlds of Atzilut and Briah. Other words in Hebrew with the same gematria is Hod. Translation is splendor, but it's also a Sephirah. And in the one sense, it's the Sephirah of potential manifestation. Aviv, the month of the Exodus, has this gematria as well. Aviv translates as spring. It is also connected to elevation and concealment. The 41st of the 72 names has this gematria also. Its meaning is a vessel, as in a desire to receive. The 41st name is the letters Hey, Hey, and Hey, indicating a vessel in the three aspects of right, left, and central. We traditionally say 77 verses on the second day of the month. This is the gematria of the word mazal, or fortune. Some people say it's luck. Its shoresh is drip. As in the astrological influences are referred to as mazal, a dripping. Also, the word for goat has the gematria of 77. And this same word, az, also means strength, power, might, courage, and boldness. It is also the gematria of one of the words for prayed. Transitioning to the Yearning for Redemption PDF file, where we have Tehillim 17. According to the Midrash, and this is the Midrash Shachar Tov, the straight to the good, this psalm speaks of repentance on Yom Kippur. Indeed, in this psalm, David speaks of himself as one who has slipped from the path of righteousness, but who wishes to return and asks Hashem's help. It is also the first of 10 psalms which were added to the Pesukei Zimra on Yom Kippur. This is on Yom Kippur morning. It is the first psalm to begin with the words Tefillah leDavid, a prayer of David. For the essence of Tefillah, prayer, is the desire to speak words of truth. Its first and last verses speak of righteousness. And like the previous psalm, it speaks about the great bliss that lies in store in eternity for those who return to Hashem with all their heart and follow the paths of the righteousness. The first verse. Tefillah leDavid Shema Adonai Yohewahe Tzedek HaKishiva Renati hazina tefilati velo shivte mirma. Tefillah, a prayer of self-evaluation by David. Hashem, beneficent Hashem, hear the righteousness of my plea and how I have striven to internalize your standard of righteousness in judging myself. Be attentive to my cry that issues forth from the depths of my being. Give ear to my prayer from lips which have not spoken guile. I have said in earlier psalms that we don't really pay attention to the first verse because the first verse is really expressing the quality of the psalm that we're going to say. But in this verse, in this prayer, in this psalm, there is much information in this first verse that needs to be taken to heart. And I would recommend that we utilize the tool, not of shiluv, not of intertwining, but utilizing the first letters with the root vowel, or the first letters with the vowel that is in this verse. Now, I have not done that, and Bezrat Hashem, today I will do that and express that, so that if anybody wants to ask that question in tonight's questions and answers, we will be able to explain it and what is the purpose of that and how to utilize it properly. And there are 12 words in this process, which connects to the four-letter name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh on the right, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh on the left, and Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh in the central, as well as the 12 tribes of Israel. Good morning, Jasmine. We're on Psalm 17 with the PDF, and the second verse is where we are starting. Milfanecha mishpati yetze einecha techezena mesharim. May my judgment come forth from before you, and may the judgment I arrive at in my self-evaluation be exactly the same as your objective judgment of me. Your eyes alone behold all things impartially.
Ruby.
Good morning, Ruby. We're just about to explain verse 2 in Psalm 17.
Okay, I'm going to mute the phone.
Please notice the last word in the Hebrew is mesharim. And you may have heard in discussing Israel in the papers, sometimes they'll refer to mesharim. The translation of mesharim, the literal translation is the root is yashar, yud shin resh, which has the meaning of straight or direct. But it's also the meaning of an active gate. It's also has yam at the end of the word, meaning plural, but also si. And the mem at the beginning of the word is usually translated as from, as in where are you from? Misharim is this idea of an active gate to the sea. You're coming from the active gate to the sea. And that will explain to you why the Orthodox community, Misharim in Israel, tends to be a very active rock-throwing group of children when it comes to driving on Shabbat and the dangers, the staunch attitude, because this is the energy of that location. 6 words connects you to Zeron Pin, which is heaven. If you are judging yourself truthfully, not leniently, but not excessively judgmentally either, that balance point where you are able to see the truth without an agenda. The third verse. Bechanta libi pakata laila siraftetani baltimsa zimoti balya avarpi. You have refined my heart with afflictions which have cleansed and humbled me, punished me with tormenting thoughts in the night. You have purified me like silver until you can find no more blemish in me. I have bridled my mouth lest a single complaint pass my lips. This is an interesting verse to me. 11 words, which indicates the 10 sephirot plus the negative system. It's the totality of creation. When we can see the pain and suffering and afflictions that we have experienced as cleansing, as the tool that brought us to this place of where we are today, when we can appreciate that that's the purpose, that it is Hashem's love that causes those things, because he set up this natural system of cause and effect. Then we no longer complain because we understand the blessing involved in all of that chaos. The fourth pasuk. Lifulot Adam bidvar shufatecha ani shamarti archot paritz. I have not complained about the evil deeds that men have perpetrated against me. They are merely fulfilling the decree of your lips, for I admit I myself have followed in the ways of the lawless. Eight words. When we can admit how wrong we have been in many actions in our lives, when we admit that, even especially to ourselves, this is how we elevate above the physical world. When we recognize that the people who appear to have harmed me are really acting as a tool of Hashem. This is a powerful verse. The fifth verse. Ta'amoch ashurai b'madlotecha. Bal namotu pifamai. Now I ask, help me establish my steps to follow in your path, the path of the righteous precepts. Let my steps never stray from the path of righteousness. What are we doing? We're asking Hashem to show us the path to return, to help us to return. This verse needs to be said as long as you are contemplating Teshuvah. It's asking for Hashem's help in knowing what is the right thing to do to return. Because ultimately, we have to take that first step. But every step after that first step, that's Hashem. Hashem is helping us find those proper steps to take to return to Him. But you have to first ask. That is the first step, to ask to return. The sixth pasuk. Ani kiraticha ki ta'aneni el hat aznecha li shema imrati. I have called out to you to help me. Answer me, Hashem. Incline your ear to me. Hear the thoughts behind my words. King David is saying, look into my heart and know that I am speaking the truth when I ask for your help to return. The seventh verse. Chaf lecha sadecha moshiach hasim mimit kom miyam biminecha. Amplify your loving kindness, O deliverer, as a sign that you are faithful to your promise to protect those who place your hope in their hope in you. Save me from those who revolt against your hand, against your right hand. Footnote 35. What does it mean to revolt against God's right hand? What is God's right hand? The right hand refers to God's loving kindness, His desire to bestow good, even upon those who are not deserving. Who would revolt against such a force of love? Only one filled with so much guilt and self-hatred that he cannot stand anyone, including himself, and especially himself, I would add, being the recipient of God's love. The punishment for his sins is that he passes the strictest judgment upon himself. He feels that he can never be forgiven. David therefore asks, amplify the power of your loving right hand to break the power that holds such souls in its grip. It's a lovely expression by Rabbi Sutton. The eighth verse. Sham reini keishon batayim bitzel kenafecha hasti reini. Protect me like the pupil of your eye. Conceal me under the shadows of your wings. What is the meaning of pupil of your eye? How does the pupil of the eye get protected? It's protected by the lens.
Martha.
It's protected by the eyelid. It's protected by the eyelashes. It's protected by the eyebrows. It's protected by many layers. That's what King David is expressing here. The ninth verse. Mipnei Rishayim Zushaduni Oyevai Benefesh Yakifu Alai. Protect me from wicked men who are bent on robbing and oppressing me. Protect me from my enemies who encircle me in order to take to steal my soul. Who is King David's enemy? Who is your enemy? You must, and I cannot stress this enough to students of Kabbalah, you must realize there is only one enemy, and that is Satan. Satan wants to steal your soul. He wants to enslave your soul to him instead of Hashem. That is on the lowest level of the spiritual worlds. As we grow, he rises from that. He becomes stronger as we become stronger, because the test of free will is always present. But at this lowest level, if you don't recognize who are the wicked men, it's only Satan. Who is your enemy? It's only Satan. Nothing else takes place in the world except the battle between Satan and Hashem over your soul. The 10th verse. Chel badmo sagru pimo divru pegeut. You are enclosed in their own fat, so that their mouths speak only with vain boastfulness. Who do you think King David is referring to in this verse? Who are they? Is it you? And how does this image of being enclosed in your own fat cause you to speak vainly and boastfully? Because the fat is not clear. You cannot see through fat. Even a small layer of fat veils the light, veils your vision somewhat. It's cloudier. The thicker the fat, the more cloudy, until there is absolutely no penetration of being able to see the truth. I lack the English words to express how powerful the image is if you think it through and understand it. The 11th verse.
Oh, Hanok.
Yes, Ruby.
I was trying to ask you a question from the ninth verse, but I was mute. I was just couldn't mute my phone. So my question is about that you mentioned about Satan, and isn't part of Satan our own ego?
Yes, it is our own ego. And what was your question on the ninth? And I apologize for calling you Ruby, because I know you're Jasmine, but I didn't hear the accents.
I didn't hear that. When you were talking about Satan, I feel or I see it like a person. I mean, the way it is described.
It's always he's described as the wicked man. He's described as the wicked man. Absolutely, he is being described as a person. Because who does he act through? Who is he in control of? He's in control of the empty spaces. Rabbi Berg, who was originally my teacher, my first teacher, Rabbi Berg, who passed away in, I believe, 2004 or 2005. Rabbi Berg always described, and it was only the last couple of years that I was able to see the truth of his statements, but he describes Satan as being in the empty spaces. Now, where are the empty spaces? The empty spaces is what separates you from me and me from you. The empty spaces are built into the atoms that are in our body, that is in the air. Satan is everywhere because this is his home. His home is the physical world, the empty spaces of the physical world. And this is the conflict between where there is light, where you can see truth, and the empty spaces where there's only the veil of fat. There's only the veil of concealment. The 11th verse. Ashurenu ata tivavunu enehem yashitu lintot baret. You see the word in Hebrew that has the way it is read and the way it is written. What is the difference? The last letter is a vav, the way it is read. A yud, the way it is written. The last letter, those two letters at the end of a word, one refers to the possessive pronoun of his, and one refers to the possessive or the personal pronoun of me, of my. Everywhere I go, these wicked men follow me. They watch our steps. In a moment, they surround us. Their eyes are on the watch to ambush us wherever we go in the land. First off, you need to understand a very powerful concept in the last word. It says, Ba'aretz. It's the same beginning of Bereshit or Bareshit. When you have the vowel, the little t, Ba is really, it's not Ba, it's Ba-ha. There's a hey there, but it's concealed. And the vowel changes from the two dots, from the Shva, to the little T. But that little T tells us that this word is Ba-ha-aretz. Ba-ha-aretz is the land of Israel. always the land of Israel if it's Baha'aretz. Now, with that understanding, is this talking about people who live in the physical land of Israel? Of course it's not. Because every place that is a physical world, the earth, is Baha'aretz, the land of Israel. It's not that way now because we're in exile. But when the Mashiach manifests, every point on earth becomes Israel. Because the purity of Israel, what we studied in the goodness of the land of Israel, about how as you move from one place to another, you change different groups of angels. Your soul changes. That will no longer be necessary, because wherever you go, you will be in the land of Israel. Now, why do these people surround me, with these wicked men surround us? Because they're already in us. They're in those empty spaces. The 12th verse. Dimyono karyek yiksof litrof v'kichfir Yoshev b'mistarim. The wicked man resembles a lion, eager to tear his prey to pieces, and like a young lion who sits in hidden places. We studied the lion. We never finished it in the encyclopedia of the animals of the Torah. But we did get a sense of what is the difference between a young lion who's sitting in hidden places and the tearing apart. Why does the negative system want to be a lion to tear us, to tear his prey, being us, to pieces? Because it's the only way he can get access to our souls, because the souls have protection. But we create our own holes in that protection through our negative actions. And the effect of that is the Satan leaves his empty space and tears the body apart, tears the veil apart, so he can get access to our soul. Hidden places is those empty spaces. The 13th verse. Kuma Adonayo Hewahe Kadma Panav Pachriyehu. Rise up, Hashem. Defy the wicked one to his face. Bring him to his knees. Deliver my soul from the wicked man who serves as the instrument of your punishing sword. King David is asking Hashem to be his protection, to fight for him. But isn't that what Moses said to the people at the moment they were about to cross the Yam Suf? He said, God will fight for you, and you will be quiet. Here we learn from King David that before God fights for you, you have to request it. Also relate Kuma Adonai, Kuma Hashem, to the song that we sing as we take the Torah out from the Ark. The 14th verse. Mim tim yadcha Adonai Yohe Wahe, Mim tim mecheled Helkam bachayim utfununcha Timale bitnam yisru panim Behinichu yitram leolehem. One word is written and read differently, but what is the difference? Again, it's a vav and a yud, but it's not the last letter, so it has a different meaning. They're both vowel holders or place holders. They're both male letters, and they're the male letters of Hashem's name. It's written in a way where the active being, the action takes place. That's the yud. The vav represents the lower level of Zeranpin, the lower level of heaven. Hashem, deliver my soul from dead men who are the tools of your hand, from dead men whose portion is in this life, whose stomachs you fill from that which is hidden with you. Let them be content with children, and let them leave their abundance to their offspring. What is the abundance? The abundance is your good deeds. The abundance is your mitzvot. The abundance is your merit. Leave your merit to your children. Don't use it up by protecting yourself from the punishments, from the effect of your own negative actions. Accept those so you stop doing them. Stop doing the negative actions. Build the merit that you can leave to your offspring, to your children, and be content with your children. Be content with who they become that is not you. How many of us are disappointed with our children, unfortunately. It's a very powerful request in this verse. We just have to understand it and then strive to change ourselves to be equal to it. The 15th verse. Ani betzedek Achezeh vanecha espe'ah behakit temunatecha. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I then awaken in the next world, I will be satiated with the glory of your countenance. And may we all say amen to this verse. I'm going to now read the 15 verses in the Hebrew without any interruption. Bli ayin hara. Last time I made that statement, I was interrupted with a cough or something else. I don't remember what. Oh, I know. I remember now. It was an interruption from the conference call system that went off, and I had to wait till it finished. So, Bli Ayin Hara. Tefila le David Shima Adonai Yohewahe Tzedek Hakshiva Rinati Tazina Tefilati Belo Shifte Mirma Milfanecha Mishpati Yetze Einecha Techezena Mesharim Bachanta Libi Pakata Laila Tziraftani Yuval Timtza Zamoti Bal Yavarpi Lifulot Adam Bidvar Shefatecha Ani Shemarti Archot Parit Tamoch Ashurie Rai B'maglotecha Bal Namotu Famai Ani Kiraticha Ki Ta'ameni El hat aznecha li shamayim rati. Haf lechasadecha moshia hosim b'mit komim b'minecha. Shamreni k'ayishon Bat ayin bat sael, kinafecha, tachtireni. Mifnei rishayim zuzaduni, oyevai panai efesh, yakifu alai. Helba mo sabru, pimo divru. Begeut Ashurenu Atasivagunu Enehem Yashiko Lintot Varets Demino Kearye Yixof Lit Roth Pekipir Yoshev Pemastarim kumadonai yohe wahe kadma panav hakriehu palta nafshi merasha harbecha mimtim yadcha adonai yohe wahe mimtim becheled El tam b'chayim utzvuncha t'mi t'male bitnam yishpeu banim b'hinichu yitram le'olehem ani b'tzedek achaze panecha espe'a b'chakeit
This is the completion of our class. Does anyone have any questions? While you're unmuting yourselves to ask questions,
I have a question.
Classes today. Go ahead, Hannah.
I'm sorry I didn't stop you when I had the question. I was trying to figure it out by myself. On verse 2, when you gave the definition of Yakshar, you said an active gate to the sea. Is it sea spelled S-E-A or S-E-E, or could it be both?
Well, the word yam, the last two letters of the word, is a C, S-E-A. And that always refers to or some aspect. anywhere, anytime you speak a word in Torah and you have that yam at the end, it's referring to the water. It's referring to the water of Torah, the chesed of Torah.
Okay, but the English, you know, I knew the word yam, but because in the English they had the word eyes, then I wondered if it could be both. I mean, you know, an active gate to be able to see as well as an active gate to the yam. Something I need to contemplate, I guess.
I would agree with that.
Okay, thank you.
Classes today at 4:30 will be a deep Zohar class on Parashat Noach, and perhaps we'll cover some of the verses from that we did yesterday to see if there's some things that, because of my being so tired yesterday, I may not have been able to express properly. And at 7 o'clock tonight will be questions and answers, and I hope you'll attend to have that discussion as well. Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. West Coast time, we will do this again with verse Tehillim, Psalm 18. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you so much. Shalom.